Hallelujah. Just because he is God. Giving honor to God who is the head of my life. In absence to our pastor, Reverend Stinger, we're praying for a speedy recovery. He has a headache and he's feeling a little tired. So we're praying for his strength and for his recovery. My brothers and sisters in Christ, I greet you with Jesus' joy. It is a pleasure to stand before you on this morning. Many know that I'm working on fumes this morning. You know, when you get off at 6 o'clock in the morning after working all night long, and then you're asked to preach, it's nothing but God. I know some would say, Reverend Smith, you should be home asleep, but I'm reminded what Jesus said, to whom much is given, much is required. And it's a serious thing that when you do things for the Lord, he blesses you in return. I'm not going to hold you long, but if you would turn in your Bibles to Luke, the 22nd chapter, we'll start our reading at the 31st verse. Luke. The 22nd chapter, starting our reading at the 31st verse. I just want to touch on these four verses and we'll go from there. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. I want to speak briefly on the subject, sifted yet strengthened. Sifted, yet strengthened. Let us look to the Lord, most holy, eternal, wise God, our Father. I come before you on this morning, as humble as I know how. I'm asking you, Heavenly Father, that you let this man decrease. And I pray for your Holy Spirit to increase. That, Father, they would not see Adrian stand before you, but see the Christ that is in me. For Father, all that's said and done today, it may be pleasing in your sight. Now unto him who sits upon the throne and unto the Lamb be all blessings, glory, and power forever. And the children of the Lord said, Amen. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen your brothers. In the Gospel of Luke, this 22nd chapter, the 31st to the 4th verse, we read an unfolding and amazing statement from Jesus to Simon Peter. Simon later is to become the leading apostle of Jesus in the church. In the early church, you read he has wrote two epistles in the New Testament. But the full statement that Jesus spoke that day was to Peter. He said, Lord, And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you like wheat. But I pray for you that you should not fail, but when you have returned to me, you have strengthened your brother. I like how the message puts it like this. It says, Simon, stay on your toes. Satan has tried his best to separate all of you from me, like chaff from the wheat. Simon, I pray in particular that you would not give out or give in. When you have come through the time of testing, turn your companions and give them a fresh start. The first thing that stuck out to me was the audacity of Satan. He boldly asked Jesus, could he have Simon Peter? Of course, it happened. It was the way that he came and approached, just like he came and asked of Job. He asked the Lord, if you take a hedge from around Job, Job would curse you and he would die. But yet we find here in this chapter that Satan is asking Jesus, I want the man you call Peter. Now, Peter was an interesting fellow. He had a way of talking to individuals. He was brash. He didn't hold his tongue. He had a way of just speaking what was on his mind. But there was a reason that Satan asked for Peter, because he knew he had to have foreknowledge to know that Peter would become one of the leading candidates in Jesus' kingdom. He would be one of the main apostles to go and spread the gospel throughout the world. But yet, in this passage, his whole plan was to discredit Peter. He wanted to show Jesus that Peter was in all he said he was to Jesus. That leads us today, that oftentimes, are we all who we say we are when we say we love Jesus? That's something to think about. We come to church Sunday after Sunday. We sit in the pews. But does your heart truly love the Lord? Now, there's one thing I need to ask you. When Satan comes and knocks on your door, and he wants to sift you like wheat, will you be able to stand the test? Will you be like Peter and tell the Lord, I'll go with you all the way? In this point in Peter's life, he was at Jesus' right hand. Peter was the one that when Jesus told him to cast his nets over on the side, he was obedient to what the Lord told him to do. At this point in his life, there was a lesson that in reality, that in order to be with Jesus, it's going to cost you. And the cost can be very high. Peter, he was impetuous, somewhat proud, arrogant about his ability and being faithful to Jesus. Even if all other disciples were not, up at this time, at this point, Peter was unchangeable. But Peter was different. He was wishy-washy. He was up and he was down. He was that sort of a disciple that was somewhat riding the fence. It was interesting that when I'm thinking about this, that when the devil asked of Peter, he didn't just want to sift him. He wanted to break Peter in two. He wanted to destroy Peter at any opportunity he could. Peter would come forth after he came through this test and strengthen his brothers. When Jesus told Peter, Satan has requested you, Peter reacted in such a way as to make Jesus think that something was wrong with Jesus. He blurted out, Lord, I'm ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. He really thought he was stronger than the rest of the disciples. He protested in Mark 14:29. He said, even if all are made to stumble, yet will I be. To which Jesus replied, I tell you, Peter, the rooster shall not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. Not next month, not next week, but today. You will deny me three times that you know me. Peter could not even imagine that he would happen to do this on this day. But as we know, it did happen. He was warming himself by a fire. And a little girl came and said, weren't you the one that was with Jesus the Christ? Peter said, no, you got the wrong individual. The young girl came back again and said, no, you look familiar. You look like that guy that was hanging around Jesus. Peter came back and said, no, you got the wrong one. But then the young girl came back again and said, no, you kind of look like that guy that was hanging around Jesus. Peter got indignant. And he said some words that were not godly. Because he cussed everybody out. I don't know this fellow. Church, Peter is you. Peter is me. I believe every church has a Peter running around. Sometimes he sits in the back of the church. Sometimes he sits in the middle of the congregation. Oftentimes he may sit right up front. And then you may find Peter sitting in the pulpit. No matter how you look at it, there's a Peter running around the church somewhere. But we may have Peter running around, but yet Satan comes to church too. Because Jesus said he wants to sift you like wheat. Now, I researched this word sift in the Greek, the word sift, the Greek word is synizo, which means to sift, to shake, to steve, or in order to remove the coarse particles around the wheat. It means to scatter something to on the surface of the seed, to rub together, to brash, to destroy, to mash, to break apart. And when you think about sifting like wheat, I had an opportunity to see what it means to sift like wheat. See, the first part is when they take the wheat and they beat it. Then they take the wheat and they throw it up in the air. And then they take the wheat when all the chaff has gone away, it falls into a pan, and then they take it and they. Yeah. Well, that's what Satan wants to do to you. He wants to. He wants to shake you, throw you up in the air, sift you, break you apart, crush you, destroy you. To let you know you know all you said you are for God. To sift is when we get sifted, and I've got Jesus allowed. He knows, you notice, he just like Job, he allowed Satan to come to Job and to just try to destroy Job. The same way Satan comes when he came to sift Peter. Notice Jesus said, Satan has asked for you. See, he had to get permission to get to Job. He had to get permission to get to Peter. See, when we get sifted, when we get sifted, it reveals who we truly are. It reveals the wicked parts of our flesh, our heart, our soul, what is blocking us from truly serving the Lord. Sift reveals the true fear, motives, and desires and agendas, often not pretty to see. No one wants anyone to see who they truly are. They don't. Guess what? When God begins to sift you, he begins to reveal who you truly are. It's just like the wheat has to get rid of the chaff. God has to get rid of some stuff in you. He does. And oftentimes we like to put on the facade. We want people to think that we are holy than we truly are. But let someone offend us. I'm talking about sifting here. Let someone hurt our feelings. I'm talking about sifting. Let someone tell us that we can't serve anymore. You got the promotion over me. I got a problem with that. I've been in the church longer than you. I was here when they bought the bricks to the building. Sifting like wheat. We don't want individuals to see our true heart. But Satan, he has a purpose when he sifts us. Because he, just like Peter, he wanted to expose Peter that he wasn't a genuine disciple of the Lord. He really wanted to put him through the sea. He wanted to rub him. He wanted to throw him up in the air. He wanted to pound him. He wanted to shake him to let Jesus know, you put all your stock in this fellow. Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build my church. It wasn't just Peter he was talking, but he said he was talking about the faith that Peter had. Jesus knew Peter would buckle and deny him. Jesus knew that on that day, he would deny him three times. How amazing is it? It happened so quickly that very day. How easy it is for us to be coasting merrily along the way. Then all of a sudden, you ever had your day going really good? Going really well? Everything, you get up in the morning, the sun is shining, everything is coming up roses. Then all of a sudden, wham! Your whole day is going downhill. Right quick and in a hurry. Have you ever been there? You're walking to work and that one person. That one person is standing by your cubicle. And you know that person means you no good. Come to church. That one person. That's right. Don't sit in my pew. That one person walk right past you. Supposed to be a child of God. Supposed to love God. But yet, how can you say you love God whom you have not seen? Going down the street, someone cut you off. I-95? Well, see, but put on the Beltway. You're trying to make your way around the Beltway. You know, you get those, you know, I don't know about Virginia people, but, you know, I'm from Pennsylvania, and we have a way. We know how to drive. I'm just going to say, we know how to drive. But I come to find out when me and my wife migrated to Virginia, we were exposed to some aggressive driving tactics down here in Virginia. Don't get mad at me. Some folks shouldn't even went to DMV. Y'all should have stayed at home. Y'all should ride your bicycle. I still love you. But Jesus, but the disciples, but this thing was, as this event was unfolding, Jesus and his disciples, then they go to Mount Olive, the Garden of Gethsemane. The soldier confronted Jesus. The disciple took out his sword and cut off the soldier's ear. Now, it wasn't James. It wasn't John. It was none of the other disciples except one. That was Peter. Now, of all things, Peter was the one who pulled the sword and cut off the soldier's ear. Now, I had to be a rough customer because that's like a deacon packing a gun. Got to pat him down, Gary. Y'all got to excuse me. Sleep deprivation. But he was packing a sword. Soldier came to do his duty. Peter cut off his ear. Jesus put his ear back on. Peter, he was zealous, standing up for Jesus at this point, but he was ministering out the wrong spirit. We have people in the church that minister out the wrong spirit. They have a misunderstanding what it truly means to be a child of God. We have people in the church that are still bitter over things from times long past. We have people in the church, our hearts are still cold as ice. Jesus has given you a new lease on life. He has given you joy, unspeakable joy. But yet you don't take action with the joy he has given you. He has given you love, peace, but yet you do not act on that love and that peace. But yet you call yourself a child of God. It was once told me that it's not what you do, it's how you do. Because the world is watching you. The closest anyone will come to seeing Christ is in you. If you walk around with a scowl on your face, where is Christ in you? If you continue to gossip about everybody and anybody, where is Christ in you? If you got an attitude with everybody and anybody that comes your way, where is the Christ in you? If you got a problem with the preacher, the deacons, the trustees, your neighbor sitting next to you, where is the Christ in you? Satan wants to sift you like wheat. While Peter was in, pardon pun, but while Peter was in full swing, and as he was denying Jesus, and as he heard the rooster crow three times, Peter's heart was broken. He went out weeping bitterly, because he had denied Christ. The truth of Jesus' words first broke him. Then Jesus allowed Satan to sift him, and then set him free to walk into the glorious future, into the power of the Holy Spirit. The agony of breaking was made much worse because before Peter could speak with Jesus and get his forgiveness for his egotistical arrogance, Jesus was led away and crucified on the cross. How that it must have been a very painful time for Peter, knowing that he had failed the Lord and himself. But in verse 32, listen to what Jesus says he did. Jesus said that he prayed for Peter. Please note, in verse 32, all the four instances of the word you and your are singular. So Jesus was directing this particularly to Peter. Listen to these words of hope. Satan is trying to leave you in pieces. In other words, Satan wanted to tear Peter apart. But Jesus said, I have prayed for you so that your faith may not be lost. Notice that Jesus did not pray that Peter would not sin in the moment. Jesus knew that Peter was going to deny him 3 times. But the issue at hand is not simply the sin, but what happened next. What will Peter do after he failed the Lord? Peter will sin. But this is not a surprise. Everyone will sin. Everyone will fall short. Everyone will let the Lord down. The question is not if you're going to sin. The question is, what are you going to do after that? Is Satan going to be successful in to shred your faith to pieces? Our effort is not only to avoid sin, but also not to allow our faith to be shattered when we fall short. When you mess up, it's not time for you to have a pity party. Because we serve a God that looks beyond our faults. We serve a God who will forgive our sins. We have a God that when you fall down, he will pick you up. We have a God, when you fall short, he will embrace you with his loving arms. We have a God that will shower you with his love. We have a God that's never failing. We have a God that's everlasting. We have a God that's ever loving. What will you do once you sin? It's easy to be demoralized by our failures. It's easy to want to quit because of our shortcomings. And perhaps the easy thing is to give up. What am I mean by this, that we still come to church with such external things hanging on us, burden ridden, trouble minded? We still come to church painful in the heart. We still come to church. Heart bitter. Mind bitter. Still come to church. What are you coming to church for? Someone's coming to be healed. Someone's coming to be delivered. And someone's coming to be set free. We no longer passively pursue Jesus because we fell short. We feel that we are not good enough. But we must remember something. We can never be good enough. Jesus came because we are not good enough. But what will you do after we sin? Will our faith become after we have fallen short? Will we give up on our faith? Will we walk away from the Lord, feeling that we are not good enough? Jesus says that he has prayed on Peter's behalf. Jesus is making an intercession on our behalf. What does it mean for Peter? Listen to the rest of the verse. Peter can turn again and strengthen his brothers. The word turn that Jesus used is the same word found in Acts 3:19, where Peter preached to Jerusalem, "Repent therefore and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." The word turn is speaking about repentance. James used this word to speak of one who wanders from the truth, but is brought back again. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude, not just a few, but a multitude of sins. It was not going to be over for Peter. Jesus made intercessory so that Peter could turn again and strengthen his brethren. How often do when we fail, we see our brothers fail, do we try to strengthen them? Don't talk about them, but try to strengthen them. How often when you have fallen short in sin, have you tried to strengthen yourself? You have no one to come and talk to you. When it's just you and God in you, he has a way of encouraging us and strengthening us at our lowest point. I believe this is the part of the story where Job comes in. We read about Job and how Satan came to tempt him or to lead or to crush him or to test him. And Satan says that suffering would tear Job, would shed Job's faith. Does the story tell Job's perfection? Absolutely not. Job says the things that he ought not to have said, even by his own admission in Job 40:3-5. But what happens at the conclusion when God addresses the foolishness and sinfulness of Job? Listen to what Job says. "Therefore, I despise myself and repent in the dust of ashes." What about you, First Mile? What are you going through right now? Even if Satan is sifting you as wheat, know that the deep desires of your heart is to love and serve Jesus, and that he is working on your behalf. He's working it out for your good. He has prayed for you that your faith not fail. And when you come through this time, this testing, you will be able to strengthen your brothers. The word strengthen from the Greek word stiros means to make firm, fix firm, set fast, fix firmly, stand fast. Peter became such a source of encouragement to strengthen after those of the trial, after his trial. Many Christians were also better off because of what Peter went through. If you really want to make an impact for Jesus in the kingdom of heaven, then know that you have to pay a high price. When Satan comes to sift you as wheat, it's the testing of your faith. He's coming to test you, to see if you are genuine, to see if you are the real McCoy, to see if it's just like a diamond. Before a diamond can be a diamond, it's just a piece of coal. But it takes some pressure. It takes some heat to form it into that diamond. Oftentimes, we have to go through the fire. We have to get melted down to get the smelt, to get the scum off the top that we can come through as pure gold. You'll be tested in a number of ways. Maybe by Satan himself, as he's been granted permission by Jesus, have a go at it. Go ahead. Sister Stevens, go ahead. I'm coming to get you. I'm going to see if she's all she's supposed to be. Deacon Cruz, I came after you. I want to see if you all you're supposed to be. Denava, I'm going to try you now. You say you love God, but I'm going to try you now. I'm going to see if you all you're supposed to be. Gary Gaither, I'm knocking on your door. I want to see if you're all you said you would be for Christ. First, my Olive, he's knocking on your door. He wants to see if you're all you're supposed to be. But you need to tell him, I'm going to come forth as pure gold. No matter what comes my way, I have a God that is standing by. Just to hear my faintest cry. I have a God that said he would never leave me nor forsake me. I have a God that sits high and he looks low. I'm talking about my God. I'm talking about a sovereign God, a loving God, a faithful God. I'm talking about a God that went to Calvary on my behalf. When the penalty should have been death, he died on the cross for my behalf. When my sins were scarlet, he came and washed them white as snow. I'm talking about my God. You see, it's amazing. God knows our sins ahead of time. It still acts in a way towards us. In a loving way. His amazing grace never runs out. His amazing grace never runs out. His mercies are new every morning. When you think about when Satan wants to attack, he wants to destroy our faith. Leave us in shreds. Every Christian will be sifted. Jesus intercedes for you. What will you do after your failure? Will you turn again to God and be strengthened by your fellow Christians? As I come to the close of this message, my brothers and my sisters, I just want to leave you with this little thought. We may be sifted, but we are saved. Saved by the blood of Jesus. Saved by the faith in Christ. Saved by the Spirit of God. Saved because we're still with the Holy Spirit of promise. Saved because we've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Saved because Jesus lives on the inside of us. Saved because we've been delivered from the power of darkness. Saved because we've been forgiven for Jesus Christ. Saved because he is our strength. Saved because this world is not a home. We're the strangers just passing through. Saved because heaven is our home. Saved because we're justified by grace. Saved because we're kept by the power of God. Saved because we're led by the Spirit of God. Saved because we're more than conquerors. Through Christ Jesus. Saved because I trust him. Saved because he saved my sin-sick soul. Saved because I was in the dinner. I was in the pit of hell. Saved because he lifted me out of the miry clay. Saved because he found me one day on Disappointed Boulevard. Saved because he lifted me up. Saved, he gave me a new walk. Saved, he gave me a new talk. Saved, he gave me a new direction to go. Saved because he loved me. Sifted, yet strengthened. Sifted, yet strengthened. Sifted, yet strengthened. Y'all don't hear me this morning. Sifted. Yes. God is a faithful God. And when we are sifted, He intercedes on our behalf. Peter, if you're running around this church, God has prayed for you. Peter, if you're still being arrogant with pride, God still loves you. Peter, if you're still arrogant and brash, God still cares for you. I don't know who Peter is in First Mile, but God loves you. But know what? Peter is you, and Peter is me. We all have fallen short. We all have made our mistakes. But God still loves us. I want to challenge you this week. And this is the honest goodness truth. I want to challenge you this week. Because there is someone in your life that you need to make it right with. You know who they are. There's someone in your life that has offended you. There's someone in your life that has hurt you. Make it right. Because know what? When you don't make it right, Satan is sifting you. And if you say you love God, do what is right. He said, you know that you are my disciples if you love one another. He said, a new command I give you. Love one another. Before this week is out, you know what? And before this week is out, make it right. Don't let another day go by when you don't go and make it right. Do you truly love the Lord? In John 21, Peter found himself by another fire. And this is after Jesus' resurrection. And they were out fishing. And they were fishing all night long, and they caught no fish. But yet, there was a stranger on the shore. He said, cast your nets to the other side of the boat. They said, we've been fishing all night. But he said, do it. And they threw the nets over, and they caught so much fish, it almost broke the nets. But then Jesus said, but then Peter looked and said, that is Jesus on the shore. He said, bring some fish with you. They got to the shore and they were cooking up fish. And remember, Peter was around another fire when he denied Christ. But then again, he found himself by another fire. And Christ was right there by the fire. And he asked Peter, do you love me? Peter said, yes, I love you. He said, feed my sheep. But Jesus comes back again. He says, Simon, do you love me? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, feed my lambs. But Jesus comes back a third time. He says, Simon, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know all things. By this time, Peter was hurt to the heart. He says, you know all things, Lord. You know I love you. He said, feed my sheep. He restored Peter at that time. How many times does the Lord have to ask you, do you love him? How many times will you continue to be disobedient and not do what the Lord has told you to do? Obedience brings blessings. That's what the word tells me. before this week is out. Make it right. Some will be stubborn. Be like, I'm not going to do it. I can't go. I can't be in that person's presence. But you know what? Jesus is asking you, do you love me? How many times does he have to ask you, do you love him? Satan wants to sift you as we stand to your feet. I'm tired of being sifted. I'm tired of being thrown up in the air. I'm tired of being pounded. And I'm tired of being shaken. It's time to have a new start and a new beginning. Satan wants to keep you right where you are. To make you feel that you're inadequate. You're not good enough. That Jesus has given up on you. Jesus has not given up on you. You've given up on him. But right now, you can make it right. Just as he sat by the fire with Peter and restored him, he can restore you right here and right now. Some folks will say, well, I don't need to come up in front of all these people. True, you don't. But if you love him, you'll come. Don't let the enemy whisper in your ear and tell you, no, no, this is not the time. But he still wants to sift you like me. Today is the day of new beginnings. Today is the day you can start all over again. Is there one? Is there one? You may not have a church home, but if you're looking for a church home, there's so much work to do here at First Mount Olive. Is there one? Amen. But I challenge you this week. Make it right. Make it right. If God is telling you to make it right, Satan just wants to keep sifting you like wheat. Aren't you tired of being thrown up and down? Are you tired of being pounded? Are you tired of being shaken? Tell Satan to get back. I got a new beginning. I got a new walk and a new talk. And my Lord, my Savior loves me. But if you want a new beginning, make it right with those you say you love. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.